congratulations for your new appointments. Can you please tell me much about it?
All the congratulations go to my living God, who is the one that directs and sends me into my purpose in life. I'm grateful for the opportunity that the English Football Association has given me over the years, and now this graduated appointment is a reflection of the work that we've done together in working on making sure that the English Football League and the football game is operating at a very high level and standard.
Can you please describe your previous role before you got this appointment?
Well, the previous role that I was working in, I hope I'm to the limit, is something called the Anti-Discrimination Panel. Now, the Anti-Discrimination Panel was a panel specifically designed to deal with discrimination issues at the county level. So the experience that I received at the lower level was to deal with all of those discrimination issues, whether it be race, religion, sexual orientation, or gender, or faith. Now that the position has changed and I've been, if I can use the word, graduated into the judicial panel, this is the most senior panel that the FA has, and it deals with more of the Premier League and disciplinary matters of the same nature, but it also includes the anti-doping, the VAR issues, and a lot of the red cards and a lot of the contested issues that you hear in football at the Premier League level.
There's been so many issues regarding the introduction of the VAR in some of the matches. Some think that it's fair, some things that it's not fair, even though we have match officials in the games. I don't know if you've witnessed any such event that in your own view hasn't been judged well.
I think anything that can make the game more professional, anything that can make the football game more fairer, is always going to be welcomed. We have to understand that the referees on the pitch, they are human, and like all human beings, they are prone and available to make mistakes. That's not a criticism of them at all. And I think if there's technology that exists, and there's technology that is available that can help minimize those mistakes, then it ought to be welcomed. You know, what's quite ironic is that, let me ask this question rhetorically, would Maradona be as famous as he was without the hand of God? And if VAR was available during those times, would Maradona still have the title of the hand of God scenario? Because VAR may well have came to a different conclusion. Do you see my point?
Yeah.
And the point I'm really making is that football is such a dynamic game, and it's a game where it sometimes a bit of luck, sometimes misfortune, or sometimes a combination of both always takes its place. And that's what adds to the excitement of football. Something maybe a referee hasn't seen or a player hasn't seen, it adds to the excitement. But here now with VAR, there is a pause in that excitement. And I think there is a new sense of anticipation, excitement, because everybody's waiting for the decision. Do you see where I'm coming from? So it's brought a new dynamic into football, one which I think will, in time, be improved by the better use of technology. You have to remember, I think this was only brought in the year 2016. So it's still early, given how long football has been in existence. Football has been around for many years, and 4 years is not a fair assessment as to whether or not it's been successful or not. I think we need to give it more time, understand the technology a bit better, but I think anything that makes the game more fairer and more just, it's got to be welcomed.
Yeah, football started way back in the 18th century, and we've had so many developments from then up to now. So why we are having technology to make a decision for us?
You have to understand, it's another method to assist the referee. So it's not making a decision at all. The referee is still responsible for the decision-making process. And there is nothing wrong with your analysis. But let's think about what you're saying. Back in the 18th century, they didn't have football gloves, did they? But now they have football gloves that goalkeepers use. Back in the day, they didn't have the stands. People used to sit around the football pitch. But then you have these issues of crowd control and people obviously, unfortunately, having sad events, that crushing events at football. So in life, everything develops. And I think the development of this technology is an aid, not a replacement. I think people need to always understand it's an aid, not a replacement to what the referee is doing on the ground.
Okay. Let's hope that with all the events that happens during the games, so will be tackled very well, so that more understanding from supporters and the players themselves will be applauded. How would you describe your appointment at the moment?
I would describe it as another reflection of the Football Association doing its part in making sure diversity prevails. It's another example of the Football Association doing its part to showing its commitment to eradicating all forms of discrimination. I think it's another example of the Football Association making an appointment based upon one's credentials. You have to understand, this appointment wasn't made instantaneously. I've served them for many years at a very grassroots level. And for them to recognize that service and put me in this particular position, in my view, it's a compliment to what their vision is in making football accessible to all. That's how I see the position and the appointment.
What are the challenges from your previous appointment?
I think the challenges so far, maintaining the ability to continuously provide the level of excellence that's required, because now you are talking about the Premier League and the higher stakes. So I think I'm not downgrading the County League at all, but the Premier League, there is high stakes at the moment, and any decision that one makes on a panel or as part of a panel will have significant ramifications for any team that's involved. So I think making sure that the training that I receive and the research that I do myself personally, just make sure that I'm up to speed. That might be another challenge, but like anything in life, if you don't have challenges, one can't better themselves. So these challenges are to be embraced. I'm looking forward to these challenges only because I know the FA. Over the years that I've worked with them, they give you all the support, they give you all the encouragement, they give you access, and all my other colleagues who sit on these panels, they are very talented people. I've seen some of them, I've worked with many of them, and if you see the access that we have to this talent in the UK, it's unbelievable. And that's probably why the English League is probably reflected as one of the most impressive leagues in the world.
I know VAR since the introduction of it, and how would you measure the understanding between the players in Europe or UK and the players in Africa?
You ask a very important question, and you see, that's the beauty of football. The rules are just level everywhere you go, like you correctly said. Whether you're in Jamaica, Afghanistan, or in the UK or Spain, the rules are the rules. And I think there should be no difference or variation in as to how the rules are applied. So whether you're playing in Africa or you're playing in the UK, I think the same level of standards and respect for the rules should always be embraced by every single participant, whether it's the coach, the sideline managers, or the referees, or even the players. And I think one of the good things about the FA here in the UK is they try to take the lead in demonstrating the excellence. And I think the panel that we have in terms of implementing the law is made up of such talented individuals that these individuals are well respected within their own personal fields, that I think we will be able to show the global football market that the disciplinary process in the UK is not only fair, but it's robust and it's also accessible to all, irregardless of your sexual orientation, race, religion, or your own personal situation.
There has been so many instances that players in Brazil, in Africa, part of Asian countries, the understanding of the rules of the game are not being implemented. Some of them, I can even use an example of player registration, or player signing a contract playing in Europe, or player signing a contract with an agent. I know you're also a FIFA match agent or player agent. How would you help in your capacity to streamline this ideas to players, how they can be able to to understand what football is about when on the field of play, and also how players and the agents sign contracts.
There's two good questions there. I'll deal with the first one first. The field of play is discipline. I think the responsibility always has to be with every individual who is subjected to the rule of the game. I think if every individual has the ability to understand their role, they will implement the game rules with utmost respect for the discipline involved. And that's following the rules. No matter who you are, whether you're a superstar or whether you're just an up-and-coming player who is at grassroots level, it's the respect that you have for discipline of the rules. I think that will help across the board, whether it's in Africa or wherever. As far as the activities and the things that agents are doing with players, I think the regulated FAs in those jurisdictions are all capable of understanding what the law says. It's a question of implementation. It's a question of integrity. And I think the more we move forward in football and its transparency, I think the more we will see those type of things feed out of the game. Of course, football is like any other institution. It will have one or two situations where people are not following the rules. But you can bet your bottom dollar that from FIFA all the way down to the local FAs, especially the one I can represent and speak on behalf, they take those issues very seriously, and they will implement whatever rules or law to make sure that the right, just and proper course of action is taken.
Do you think football associations and federations in Africa are doing enough work to let the players understand how to sign a player contract and also the rules of the game? Because when something happens on the field of play in the Premier League or any European competition, you see how the players comport themselves. It's quite different from how Africa players comport themselves and also how they deal with contracts with agents.
I think every jurisdiction will have its own challenges. And I think every local FA or every federation will have its own method in terms of how it delivers. What we can hope to do is, like I said, one has to lead by example. So if we over here can show how we operate, we would hope that everybody else would aspire to follow the lead that we're taking here in the UK. I think the UK is well respected globally when it comes to football. I think the UK is well respected globally when it comes to the administration of football. And I think it's also going to be respected in the way how it leads football and its campaigns that it leads. So for example, if you use the current Black Lives Matter movement, you can clearly see that the FA has fully backed it, fully supported it, with not just this particular situation, but the Kick It Out program, all of these initiatives that they have deployed. And they are trying, but I think it's so important not to compare the various federations, because they all have their own challenges. And I think what it really comes down to is each individual being responsible, acting with integrity, upholding the game and not bringing the football game into disrepute. Because you know the power of football is so amazing that if every individual upholds those values, and the game will be better for all.
I know football is the greatest entertainment that connects nations, people together with one voice, which is go. Do you think there are enough punishment for offenders to players?
Enough punishment in what sense?
Those people who commit offense to players in terms of discrimination and abusive behavior.
Oh, I see where you're going. I mean, you know, we have to look at the role of football. Football is not a political party. Football is not a organization which is a pressure group. Football is a sport. And it's very important that we understand that it's clear what football really is. It's a sport, first and foremost. But you have to also congratulate those people involved in football, because they've been able to identify that the sport that we have can touch people in so many different lives and in so many different ways. And they've the ability to be able to use sport to tackle these social issues hasn't come about by coincidence. It's come about because some people within the football fraternity have recognized the power that football has. And sometimes the obligation that people put on those in football, sometimes is, in my view, I think it's somewhat unfair, because football is a sport, and a sport should not really be so pressured to execute its social responsibility when it has no social locus to do so. But the fact that football, especially the English Football Association, is using its influence, is using its support and outreach to tackle those social issues, should be congratulated. And I think any punishment that people use or receive for breaking these rules is always going to be a constant area of debate. It could be tougher in many areas, but at the same time, the role of football should not be to overtake the role of government. Government is responsible for these type of issues, and government should work with football to see how genuinely we can come together and make this world that we live in a more harmonized, inclusive, and a more acceptable place to live.
In Ghana, it is an executive council that elects the president for the football association. Do you think it is important to have representatives from the retired or current players and the media in the decision making of election, as they are all part of the unity of developing football?
Again, that's a very, very, very good question. I think every confederation, every association, again, should be allowed to operate in the way that their rules allow them to operate. I think it will be so wise for every association to use all available talent to make the game better. Now, when you say all available talent, some people really don't realize that talent within football is not just football. So I think if you use the experience of retired players, you're going to get the insight of the old. If you use the experience of people outside of football, you get the experience of the eye that you can't see, because they bring a different perspective. And if you bring the role of the media into that process, you get the transparency, which is what people yearn for when it comes to these particular appointments. Those appointments are always clouded by controversy, and the media can help dilute that by having an open role which will report and make things transparent. So I think the collective of individuals from any nation, because I believe every nation has great people, and it becomes greater when they all come together for one purpose. And I think if that happens in those local FAs, those local FAs will benefit the same way like the English FA does. I think the English FA has made a particular strike to get people from diverse backgrounds into football, so we all have a different perspective as to what the game is all about.
I'm aware there are thousands of British-born Ghanaian players playing in all various types of leagues in this country, and most of them wish to play for Ghana national teams. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's a future for them representing Ghana?
I think first and foremost, I will say, I use myself in that category, because, you know, let's think about life. Me and you had no choice about where our mothers and fathers decided to give birth to us. That's the decision that our parents made for us. So my parents made the decision to give birth to me here in the UK. So many of these Ghanaian-born UK footballers have that same situation, where they're born in the UK, not by choice, but by design of their family, okay? Now, what should be happening is that the opportunities for them to understand that there is a choice should be made available to them. Because I'm pretty confident that a good portion of them, okay, Their heart. I gave a previous interview before, and I used a very high figure of 99.9%. What I meant is 99.9% of their heart, I believe, would be willing to play for their national team. But one has to look at the setup of the national team. And if the national team setup is conducive to the progress of their international profile, then why not allow those players to have the opportunity? But I think some of the people who we talk to or we engage with, they feel that the national team that they are playing for don't have the basic essentials for them to join and to make them feel comfortable in not playing for the team where they were born, as opposed from the team where their heart really lies for. Because everybody wants to play for Ghana. Who wouldn't? I mean, it's a beautiful country and a beautiful choice.
Well, as you mentioned, stretches, I have also engaged with some of the players, and we all know how inconsistent Ghana, we change coaches and we change players. If a player comes, whether the player living and playing in Ghana or the player living abroad, the moment the player comes and just one match and didn't play well, then next competition or the player not being called up again. Your position that you have now, is there any way that you can influence to this place and also to the FA to make structures that will be comfortable for players or to get attraction from players to come on board?
You see, where you're talking now is bordering the technical aspect of football. Like you just said, if a player has played for a national team and he did not play that well and he hasn't been called up again, that's a technical decision for that national team. Do you see where I'm coming from? And I think it's very important that the individual at that particular example that you've given, he recognizes that playing for any national team, I don't care what country you come from, whether it's Brazil, Argentina, Yugoslavia, whatever the countries that you may well come from, okay? It's one of national pride, isn't it? And I think if you have that opportunity, it's inexcusable for you not to be able to perform to the best of your ability. And if you do have that opportunity and you fail in that marking, sometimes that's just the life of reality, where if you miss an opportunity, then you may not get that opportunity again. But if you do get it again, then I think you need to be able to utilize it. The problem that you have is that the rules of the game are very clear, that once you make that decision to play for a particular nation, it's not like a game of chess where you can turn around the board and play for the other opponent and just change halfway through. And I think if you have the opportunity, make well use of it. So my advice to anybody is think very carefully and very hard about the pros and the cons of any national team that you want to join, and look at the pros and cons and make a sensible, informed decision. But get advice. You know, there's people out there that can advise you, and I just feel sometimes just the hype and the hope of the appointment, of the opportunity, some people just get too happy and they make a decision in haste. Sometimes one needs to reflect, look at the long-term strategy of your career and make a decision upon that.
Do you think playing for a national team is an honor or a financial benefit?
I think it has to be anybody who is selected to represent your national team. Listen, money can buy a lot of things, okay? Money can buy a lot of things, but there are some things that money simply cannot buy, okay? Now, the fact that you play for your national team, I think, should be the pinnacle of anybody's footballing or any sporting career, because that represents your skill set at a very particular level that your country has given you the ability to represent. So my personal view is that we all should be servants to our nations that we represent. That's why if we act as servants, the financial interest that you have as a servant becomes quite diluted. So therefore, the loyalty, the pride, and the respect that you have for your nation, because it's not just you, it's the flag and the people who hold that flag that you represent. So financial gain should not be your incentive. I think financial gain should not be your priority. I think what supersedes financial gain as your priority should be the fact that you're representing your nation, because that to me is the global honor that any individual in any sport can get.
As being a lawyer and also a FIFA agent, and I don't know much about player contracts, how players sign contracts with their clubs, but at times in Ghana, for example, if a player goes to a tournament or a national team go for a tournament, a national team coach not being paid for 1 year or 2 years, or a player hasn't got his bonus, the player comes on the media to tell everyone that I have not been paid one month, 2 months or whatever. In UK, you don't hear anything like player coming out to say I haven't been paid for a month or whatever. Is there any conduct which doesn't allow them to come out to say it, but why in Ghana players are always on the media telling people about having been paid and having been paid?
I mean, you hear all of these stories, and I think these stories will never be resolved by playing it out in the media, okay? I think the most effective way to deal with those situations is by amicable commercial diplomacy. We need to understand each individual case differently, because we can't speak for every case. We don't know the circumstances behind them. But I think what is needed is firm structures, you know, and the implementation of those structures. If you have firm parameters and structures, you can deal with it. But you see, the good thing about football, and this is why you have to respect FIFA to an extent, because you have these institutions that you can go through, so that when you have a complaint about any financial irregularity, the financial regulations that apply to football are accessible. You have the Court of Arbitration, also can deal with any complaints surrounding football, sport arbitration. So there are many avenues, and the media and the platforms that the media provide are not the process that the laws recognize. So I think once everything's been exhausted, people should embrace those passages, go to the relevant bodies, and follow due process. I'm a very firm believer of due process. And I believe if you follow due process with the right type of representation, the law always prevails.
How would you help the Ghana FA to tackle all this issue of getting players representing the national team from abroad?
I'm a UK-born Ghanaian. My mother, my dad, if you cut my blood and you see my DNA, they will tell you that I am from the Ashanti region, the Jumokati Kese. So indirectly, I am a servant of Ghana. So if any institution in Ghana requires help that me, Evans, and Wayamicha can provide for them, I am available for that help to be given. So if any person from the Ghana Football Association who knows my work or has access to the work that I do, and they require help, like I said, I'm a servant of the nation, and I will serve in whatever way, however what way that I do. I have a brother called Kwame Darko in Ghana, and he always says this phrase to me, for God and your country. So if they approach me and they want that help in any way that I can do, you have to understand, I have 20 years of experience in the English legal system. I have a number of years now with the football fraternity. I do understand the rules of the game. So if they need assistance in those type of areas, I am available to make that assistance work. But of course, I'm not the one to approach anybody. At the end of the day, they have a very fantastic team. They have very able people, and they have very skillful people already within the Ghana Football Association. But if those people require additional support from outside of their jurisdiction, then I will always make myself available to serve my country.
Yeah, as you rightly said, that you are available for any approach from the Ghana FA or any assistance. Do you have any ideas that you think you can bring on board to help the development of football in Ghana?
I've been in the business for some time now. With this business here, you have experience. You also have contacts that you develop. I've worked with some of the finest people within in the business. If I use Steph Blatter, and you remember when he left FIFA, there was Prince Ali of Jordan, one of the most impressive men I've ever met in my life, a brother-like status. He gave me access to his world and how he operates and how he has his understanding of football. Here in the UK, there's another access that I have. So when you combine all of those opportunities that I've had over the years, it's quite clear that I have plenty to offer the Ghana Football Fraternity because of the outreach that I've had. A lot of people don't have this opportunity to meet people from a diverse range of backgrounds and don't have the opportunity to meet diverse range of people from different confederations. I've had that blessing. So therefore, I'm able to approach Ghana football in a way which not many people can really articulate and even demonstrate. Mine is all evidence-based. It's not talk-based, it's evidence-based. This is what I have done, and people know my work, understand what I have done. So I'm able to now give that to the association if they so need it.
Yeah, I went to the FA to request for taxes on players' bonuses to the national teams. And as a developed country like UK, they pay each player 1,500 £1,000 for winning. Okay. Drawn game is £1,000 for each player. And also, if they lose a game, each player gets £500.
Okay.
With all this money given to the players, there's 10% tax on each player's amount.
Okay.
A developing country like Ghana, each player is being paid a huge amount of $8,000 to $10,000 per match without any tax on it. And this money is being given to the players and the management and the technical team without any tax.
Okay.
Do you think it would be fair to introduce tax system in Ghana to apply in any bonuses that they receive from the AFA or the government? And because I know in Ghana, it's the government that pays winning bonuses or bonuses. It's not from the AFA coffers. Do you think it would be fair to introduce taxes?
I think, you're comparing two different jurisdictions. My understanding with some of the UK players, England players, that a lot of them have made the decision to use their appearance fee as donations to charitable organisations. If the majority do that, then I think that represents why they play for England. If some of them keep that money, I think the taxing system is another good way. The 10% tax is a good way, because you see, everybody's to pay tax. If you don't pay tax, no government can operate properly and be able to redistribute the tax for the projects that its elected individuals have given them to do. So when you're talking Ghana, if the figure that you have quoted are accurate, then it's naturally always going to be good for those individuals, because again, it's a different jurisdiction. So if they're receiving such payments for their appearance fees and you then subscribe them to taxes, then it's going to be difficult for them to be able to live their life. But at the same time, if the jurisdiction had the ability to use some of that financing to redistribute into the game, and those players make that conscious decision to put their winnings into helping develop the sport, then that's a blessing. But I don't believe in imposing things on people so that it becomes difficult for them to play. I don't know the figures that you're quoting, if they're accurate or not, but I take your word, because I know you're one of the most respectable football or sports journalists in our country and in the field of football and sport. But the reality is, taxation is always a sensitive matter. But I genuinely believe that everybody should try to pay some taxes so that the governments or the associations should be able to develop the sport. Because if you're getting such monies for appearing for your nation, which should be national pride, you should give other young people coming up the same ability to have that pride by helping redistribute the blessings of the payment that you receive.
Yeah, because this situation is that the FA paying winning bonus, I have the document with me, I will send it to you when we finish. £1,500 as winning bonus. Then Ghana, between 8,000 to 10,000, it's quite huge money. Let's put the tax issue aside. The money that they receive, a developed country pays 1,005 as win bonus, and a developing country pays $8,000 to $10,000. And this $8,000 to $10,000, there are records that Ghana Blaster started giving these players and officials and team management since 2006 World Cup, when they went to South Africa. I was there with them. They got a lot of money like this. And in Brazil, I wasn't there, but that was how it came out. So my question is, why a developing country paying a huge sum of amount to players like this, whilst a developed country paying less than that?
Sometimes it's very difficult to compare different jurisdictions. You know, not every what is right for England may not be right for Ghana. And I think if Ghana FA believe it's right for their players and the players believe it's right for them to receive that money, then that's a matter domestically that they need to really embrace. The most important thing is, and the first question is it illegal? And if it's not illegal, then it can't be no qualm for the legal framework to get involved. I think what you're really getting towards is, given the amount of money that's being made in the England Football League, and given the amount of money is being made in the Ghanaian Football League, how can you justify the disparity or the difference in the payment system? But I think, like I said in the very beginning, every single FA should be able to exercise its operation within the rules that FIFA has given. And if these payments are allowed within the framework that FIFA has given, then the issue is not a situation of the players or the confederation. It's more about how people prioritize their development of their football. And I think that's a question that I think only people like you in the media, and people in society, and those on the relative local councils can really determine as to what and why is that the best way to deal with the funds of the association. Because we always have to think about the future. And I think where the UK has really developed is that the investment that they use in youth football is always being great. If you look at some of these Premier League football clubs, they have a significant program for youth development. And I think a lot of that comes from the levies that they get from a lot of the money that they receive. And if these footballers are doing that and they're putting back into the game in Ghana, I think Ghana will just benefit from this. I think, you know, there are many players in Ghana who are doing a great job, who have been abroad and who may have received the money that you're talking about. So I think they put back into the game in their own ways. And sometimes the appearance fee, let's think about what you just said. If you get one appearance fee, which is 10,000, for example, and you don't appear for Ghana again, and the point that you're making really doesn't really help. But if you're another player receiving that fee every single time you play for Ghana, then naturally your heart and your mind will make you make a decision about what you think is right to develop your own country. So I think as time goes by, a lot of these players are becoming more wise. A lot of these players are becoming more kind. And I've seen some of these players, they don't always brag about it, but some of these players do good things for their countries. I think sometimes the silent voice is the best voice, rather than the bragging voice or the imposing voice.
What are the Ghana what are the chances for Ghana Black Stars at the moment, as we are still dropping out from the FIFA ranking? Our performance is not as the same as it was. The fans are not supporting the team as it was before. What do you think we can do to bring up the feeling and the fever back?
I think the first thing that you do not do is to underestimate Ghana as a nation. Ghana has a previous track record of always bouncing back. Ghana as a nation has always had leaders that will inspire, that have individuals that will always help us grow in confidence. And I believe that if you have a nation that's been led by great leaders, that will trickle down, all the way down to the man selling the coconut on the street. And I believe that if we have these leaders that give us the inspiration, it will pick up. Every football team, every football fraternity has its up and downs. That is just a natural consequences of life. But I believe Ghana, being such a footballing nation, the people will soon rally behind the national team. The people will once again rally behind the players. I think the players themselves will rally behind themselves. And then once you get that collective movement of global leadership and good governance, good structures, I think Ghana will bounce back again. You have to understand, Ghana has a reputation. I've been around the world globally. I've been blessed like that, and I thank God for the givens that I've been making. But anywhere I go, if I put on my Ghana's top, the first thing they say is football. You see, they know Ghana for football. So if Ghana has this international reputation, then people know about Ghana. Let us just all pray. Let us just all help. Let us all just support those in the leadership of football. Let's offer them our advice. Let's offer them our service. Let's offer them our support. And let's reject anything that brings them down, or the country down, or the name down, or the nation down. And let's us all find a way to make Ghana football great again. Because it's always been great, and it needs to come back again. Because you're right. I think it's taken a slight dip for a number of reasons. But you see, I believe in Ghana. I believe in the leadership. I believe in the footballers. I believe in the people, that they will bring it up again. Because Ghana is a very prayerful country, and I know that everybody's prayer will go in the right direction to lift us up again.